Precious blood stains. You know, there's some churches, the only time you ever hear about blood if somebody got hurt. Apart from that, you never hear it. And we are what we are tonight by the blood of Christ. If you turn to the book of Genesis chapter 15 with me, please. Genesis chapter 15. Did you know the book of Genesis is the springboard to the rest of the Bible? The book of Genesis. It's the beginning. Genesis chapter number 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Now we'll stop there. And let's see and find out what preceded that. Look at chapter 14. Notice it said, after these things. What things? Well, the things of chapter 14, verse 1. It came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Ariach, king of Eleazar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the vale of Sidon, which is the salt sea. Now watch carefully, verse 4. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. Now, if you do not believe in numerology, you're missing a big part of Bible study. Number 13 is indelibly impressed with rebellion. How many colonies rebelled against King George back there in the 1700s? 13 colonies. So therefore, the good old United States of America was born from rebellion. This nation was started when it rebelled against the authority of the King of England. How many of you knew that? I don't know if they teach history in school anymore. They teach you how to use an iPad and an iPod and an iPhone and the rest of it, but you need history. America was born in rebellion. So in 1861, when they began to fire on Fort Sumter, the folks up north got real adamant about the fact that these were rebels in the South, rebelling against authority. And the folks down in the South said, "Hold your horses, don't get too high and mighty with us. You rebelled against the King of England." Now, I'm not fighting the Civil War over again tonight. I'm just telling you what happened. And the one who started the Methodist Church, what was his name? His name was Wesley. Yeah. His name was John Wesley. I've got his sermons back here in my office. And in his sermon, by the way, John Wesley's an Englishman. He wasn't an American. He's an Englishman. And he was contemporary with rebellion, the rebellion of 1700s. And so he wrote his Christian brethren back here in the United States and said, "Now you're wrong. You are rebelling against lawful authority." In Romans chapter number 13, it said plainly, "Submit yourselves to the authority." He said, "You are wrong." And they fell out over that. But everybody in the States did not rebel against King George. There was a bunch of them here in the country who sided with England. And of course, they had a hard road to hoe when the war was over and the United States won its independence. Good people can differ on issues. They certainly can. In Genesis 15, Abraham has just come through this war with these kings, and he refused to receive payment from them or any kind of a stipend. He refused it. And that struck the heart of the Lord, because there are many things about Abraham that struck his heart, and this one particularly. And the Lord said, "Abraham, I am your shield." In other words, I am your protector, your defender. That's what that means. That's good. But here's the first time in the Bible that the word "fear not" shows up. That's the reason I went to this text. It's that law of first mention The first time it shows up in the Bible, it relates to God protecting and defending his people.
Amen.
Amen. Fear not. He said, I'm going to take care of you. I'll defend you. And he said, I'm your reward.
Amen.
Have you ever heard it said that righteousness is its own reward?
Yes.
Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Righteousness is its own reward? Well, of course it is. Is not the way of the wicked hard?
Yes, sir.
I hope there's nobody in this house tonight feel like you gave up anything. Pining your life away thinking, Lord, look what all I'm missing. My goodness. Bar fights, busted beer bottles over my head, night or two in the drunk tank, broken homes, flat broke, torn up cars. You know, look what all I'm missing by living for the Lord. I haven't missed anything. God gave me a new life. He did. He gave me a new life. I've never desired to go back to the hell hole I got saved out of. Never have, folks. But I would never have come out of that hell hole if he hadn't come to me first. You say, you mean you're not a holy, righteous person? I'm a dog. Piece of garbage that God came to and saved. And nothing turns me off any quicker for somebody to put on his righteous robes and get up in my face and look down at me. That makes my blood boil like you wouldn't believe. It does. I have nothing but contempt for that kind of righteousness. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is made unto us righteousness. Now what does that mean? It means that I embrace him and take him and he is my righteousness. Not by word, not by talking about it, but I literally embrace him into my life. And say, devil, you can work me over and you can find all kinds of fault in me, but it's not me anymore, it's Christ.
Amen.
For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. When's the last time that it shows up in the Old Testament, the fear not? It's found in Zechariah 8:13. Now there's one past this, but it's not a command. Here it's a command, fear not. This is the last command of the Old Testament. Look at Zechariah 8 verse 13. It shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong.
Amen.
Somebody told me just a moment ago out in the foyer that Netanyahu has, what was it you said, brother, about the building in East Jerusalem? In the West Bank. Seed the settlements in the West Bank. Do you know where that term came from? First of all, do you know what that term means? West Bank. Do you know what they're talking about? They're talking about the West Bank of the Jordan River. Do you know where it came from? It came from the news media. Do you know what it's referring to? It's referring to Samaria. It's talking about Israel. But you see, what they've done is create an arbitrary map that has nothing to do with reality. It would be like coming into America and saying, well, now hold on, folks. There is the east bank of the Smoky Mountains and the west bank of the Smoky Mountains. And the east bank belongs to the Cherokee Indians. They were here first. Were they here first? Did Andrew Jackson drive them out on the Trail of Tears back in the 40s, somewhere in there? Did not hundreds and hundreds of Cherokee Indians die on the way to Oklahoma? Did they not? Well, they had a doctrine back then. That doctrine on the East Coast, I don't know why I'm getting into politics tonight, but you all, I mean, folks, I read this stuff and I think about this stuff and I think long and hard about it. And shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? And what comes across as black and white and cut and dried and so simple for everybody else is not too, it's not simple for me.
Amen.
It's called manifest destiny. Have you ever heard of that? Manifest destiny, it meant that the white man came ashore, the eastern shore, and it was the destiny of, it was manifest destiny. Manifest means made known. Their destiny is to conquer this whole virgin land all the way to the west coast. And when they bought the Louisiana Purchase, they sent Lewis and Clark to map it out. Find out how big a hunk of land we got here. And it's quite a thing. Well, in the process of the manifest destiny, what did they do to the Indian? They drove them out. That's what they did. They drove them out. They drove them out. They drove the Cherokee out, and they drove the Choctaw, the Creek, a bunch of C's named the Indians that were in this area around in here. They drove them out. And do you think the Indians have forgotten about it?
No,
they haven't forgotten about it. Somebody told me the other day that if you go to Cherokee, North Carolina, and try to spend a $20 bill, they won't take it. Somebody got a $20 bill in your pocket, pull it out, look whose face is on it. Who? Andrew Jackson. That's Old Hickory. They've got the Hermitage down there at Nashville. I've been down there. His wife's name was Martha, buried out in the back. Andrew Jackson's the one who stopped the international bankers from taking over the monetary system in this country. Andrew Jackson's the one who fired the head of the bank, printed their own money, United States note. Andrew Jackson did all that, loved his country, the hero of the Battle of New Orleans, fought a battle after the war was already over with, killed all those Englishmen that were coming against it. All that stuff happened. Everything's not cut and dried, black and white and clear and simple.
Amen.
Shall not the judge of the whole earth do right?
Yes, sir.
He'll do right. Yeah. Well, what did he just say to you right here about Israel? He said they're hated of all the nations.
Yes.
Are they now?
Yes,
yes, they are now. Whose land is that anyway? You say it belongs to the Palestinians. Well, what about going back to Hadrian, when Hadrian in 135 AD drove them all out of their land? They didn't leave voluntarily. They were driven from their land. He was a Roman. Hadrian's long dead. You can't do anything about Hadrian. He drove them out of their land. He drove them out. That was their land. They'd been there for centuries. See? They were there long before an Arab was ever called an Arab. They were there for centuries before the Muslim religion was ever established, before Muhammad ever started it in 600 and something A.D. See what I mean? He said, fear not. The world's turning against Israel today. That's why I mentioned that about Netanyahu. They're turning against the Jew. You got one crowd out there that blames the international bankers for all the problems. Who that? The Rothschilds and all the people with all the money. And so they bail them out. They bailed them out a couple of years ago. Do you remember that? When they bailed them out, bailed out the international bankers? You remember the stimulus programs? You contributed to it. Do you remember the $1 million, $2 million, $3 million dollar bonuses that these people got? How much was your bonus? They're bringing this world to a one world government. It's coming, and most of the people in the churches are as blind as a bat. And this next election cycle, they'll run straight to the voting booth and poll, and they'll go in there and vote for a baby killer.
Amen.
They'll vote for a sodomite. They'll vote for everything that is antichrist, and then go back to their church and sing hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord. When are we going to have revival?
Amen.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's why I never went to church before I got saved. That's why when I looked at the church house, I puked at most of the people. That's why when I did get saved, God opened my eyes and said, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you ever get him in your soul, he'll change you. He'll change your politics too. And I'm going to tell you something. Do you know what would do this country good? Throw about 99% of the whole Senate and the whole House of Representatives out on their head. Every Republican, every Democrat in that crowd. Just about every one of them, every last one of them, get rid of them. There's a few up there that are okay, but most of them, get rid of them and put somebody up there that loves the country. I want you to turn to Matthew 1:20. This is the first time that it shows up in the New Testament. Matthew chapter number 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Will you believe that?
Yes,
good night, man. I'm a good religious person, but I just can't believe in the virgin birth. There's no way. I can't handle it. That's not biologically possible. I believe in a religion that teaches people how to be good, nice, be good to their neighbor. A pretty religion, smells good, looks good. We got all kinds of candles in our church. We got all kinds of stained glass. We're acceptable in our community. We're high upstanding people. And if I'm going to be accepted by the University of Tennessee and by the intelligentsia and the elite, there's no way I can believe in the virgin birth. So now, but. Are there not a lot of reverends around just like that?
Yes,
you better believe it. You better believe it. They had much rather be accepted by a bunch of pagan heathen over here than by the Lord God. Do you believe in the virgin birth? Let me tell you something, folks. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, just take that thing right there and throw it out in the mud pile somewhere. Okay? Because if you don't believe in the virgin birth, the rest of it's just a bunch of garbage. It's just a bunch of lies, fairy tales, old wives' tales. It is. If Christ was not virgin born, every prophecy of every Old Testament prophet that pointed to the coming of the Messiah and God Almighty manifest in flesh is just so many empty words. The virgin birth is the basis of the Bible, your salvation and your future and eternity. But you know what he said? He said, fear not. Why did he tell him not to fear? Well, Mary is with child. After a while, it becomes obvious. Word starts spreading fast. Back in those days, you know, they didn't take Academy Awards and strut out on the stage about 8 or 9 months pregnant and be handed a Oscar and what all and just as bold and brazen in your face with it and look at me and this is wonderful and this is the new way and who wants marriage anymore and blah, blah, blah. They didn't live in 2011 America. This was 2,000 years ago in Israel. They would have taken her out and stoned her to death. Joseph was put on the line. He believed God and he trusted him. God said, fear not. The angel said, fear not. Fear not. You know something, folks, if it's long enough, and I don't believe it will, I believe the Lord's going to come back. I believe you're going to see people begin to rediscover what life is about because they've reached the bottom. Really, really. Everything goes in cycles. They've tried everything. They've drunk as deeply from the well of fornication as they can. Have you noticed the young people just zombies? Have you noticed how they're committing suicide? They've got nothing to live for. Have you noticed? Have you noticed how they've tried it all? No inhibitions, nothing. They tried everything. Have you noticed how unhappy everybody is? You know why? Because they've lost any meaning in life. When you have no fences, you have no territory. When the fences are taken down, then there's no guidance. There's nothing to live by. And the fences are gone. Amen. And all the churches want to do is make you feel good and feel happy and love yourself and feel you full of self-esteem. That's all the churches are about. Right. Feel good churches, that's all it's about. Right. You know, young woman comes in, she comes in here and she gets pregnant. And instead of feeling shame for it, and she ought to, and so should the one that got her pregnant. Amen. They told me last night, said that they met over here, the ladies' meeting. My wife said that what's that called? Hope Resource Center was here last night. The Hope Resource Center is a good group because they're Christian. They take these girls in that are pregnant. And of course, they don't kill their babies. They take them in that are pregnant. They try to help them, counsel with them, tell them about the Lord. Said a lot of them have been saved. But they're giving them hope. They're trying to say, look, I know you're in a mess, but your life's not over. Let's get it straightened up here. Let's get some future for you. Well, anyway, across the street, apparently, is an abortion mill. Across the street. Now, I don't know where this place is located, but across the street's an abortion mill. The people at the Hope Resource Center have not had a very good relationship with the abortion mill, and you can imagine why. They're over there killing babies, folks. That's what they do in these places. A mama walks in there with a live baby in her belly. She comes out, the baby's dead. That's a fact of life. That's the reality to it. The baby died. What'd the baby do, preacher? Nothing. Well, what if it's illegitimate? It still didn't do anything. The baby's dead. Well, you suppose they counseled with the baby? I mean, since people love life so much in this country, you hear all that talk on TV and the radio about how much we love life. And we worry about the dogs and the squirrels and the roach bugs and everything else. Surely we ought to worry about a baby. No, they never asked the baby. They never counseled with. They're hypocrites. They're not interested in life. But anyway, here's what happened. These people at the abortion mill are starting to send these pregnant girls who are uncertain. They come in there, they think they want an abortion, then they begin to cry and they're not sure they want to kill their baby. They're uncertain. They're starting to send them across the street over to the Hope Resource Center. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They found out, I don't care what Hugh Hefner has to say. You know the old man out there in California who goes around with a bathrobe on all day long? He's not a boy anymore. No, play great-granddaddy. He ain't been a boy in a long time. He's a play great-granddaddy. But anyway, this old man running around out there with bathrobes on, he likes to get, who was it, this country singer, Cyrus, what's her name? Molly Cyrus? Miley Cyrus. He wants to get her in Playboy. He wants to look at her. Now, I know, but he's old enough to be her what? Her great-granddaddy. Do you understand how perverted and how seared the conscience can be? That's all that old man thinks about. He's an old man, folks. He's one step away from hell. One step at any moment. I remember back when I was a young man, back at 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, I remember Playboy way back then. I remember when it was a big deal back then when it first started. And oh man, how he preached. He preached. Well, he's done his preaching. His ministry's about over. Amen. Do you want to watch him when he dies? I'll bet you nobody's going to tell you what happens if they take him into a hospital and he spends a few days in there, his last days. Amen. I bet there are very few people that you've ever heard tell you how the wicked die. Because he's going to come to the end of his road. It's going to be over with for him. Larry Flint. Larry Flint got saved back in the 70s, 80s. It's supposed to have been. I said that facetiously. He didn't get saved. He didn't get saved. So how do you know he didn't get saved? His life didn't change. That's how you know. You judge a tree. If I go to an apple tree, it's got apples on it, right? Right? You don't make a profession of faith in Christ and still live like hell itself for the rest of your life. Amen. You don't do that. If you do that, you've taken the faith of Christ and His blood and trampled it under your feet and made a mockery out of everything that we believe. If you don't change. Amen. If you didn't change, you didn't get saved. And then here is the last time that fear not shows up in your Bible. That's in Revelation chapter number 1, verse 17. Revelation 1:17. The Apostle John said, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." Boy, I'll tell you right now, that's what we'd do. "I am he that liveth and was dead," he said, "and behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death." I want you to notice how that he ends the Bible and the fear nots by saying, "I am." You see, whatever follows the "I am" is added. He is I am. Amen. In the book of Exodus, he said, "You tell them that I am hath sent you." So what does that mean? Well, it means a lot when he says "I am." It has to do with his self-existing nature. Here's some of them. He said, "I am from eternity past, enduring to eternity. I'm the first and I'm the last." That's what he said to John in Revelation. See, the first, nothing before me. There was nothing. There was no time before me. I am first. You see what that means? You cannot find a place in time where he was not, because time did not exist. He has always been, and he always will be. Amen. We're just a little speck that shows up. Yeah. My goodness, 64 years is not even the tip of a T in time and eternity. He's the first by creation. There was no creation until he created. Amen. And he's the last by retribution. That means that he will make final judgment on everything. Amen. The day is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. He's the first because before me there was no God. formed. That's what he said in the book of Isaiah. None. He's the last because after me there shall be no other.
Amen.
Now here's what that means. That means that in eternity God was God. In eternity God will be God. And in between that two points of eternity, all of creation has been brought into existence. And mankind is the crowning achievement of his creation. Did you know that? Ever thought about that? Well, I thought an archangel. No, mankind is the crowning achievement of God's creation. How do you know that? Hebrews chapter number 2. He's the crowning achievement of God's creation. It's nothing for the Lord to make a universe. It's an awful lot for him to make a man. Do you know why? There is more in a man than there is in the universe. When you consider the complexity of a man, of a human being. Take your body, for example. What would blow your mind to think of how that thing works? And I marvel at a fool that thinks it evolved. Take the soul of a man, which touches his spirit and touches his body. It's an intermediary between the two. Has all of the consciousness of a spirit being, but yet not a spirit, yet can manifest itself through the soul, through the body. And the soul came into existence. But look at the spirit. The spirit of a man is what you are. We are spirit beings that happen to be residing in a temporal body right now. This is not our permanent abode. The earthly house of this tabernacle will give up our spirit one day. We don't even know the essence of a spirit. Think about that. I know what the spirits are doing now. I know what wicked spirits, evil spirits are doing. They can manifest themselves. They can move objects. They can move things. They can appear as material things. They can communicate to people. They bring on all of this so-called parapsychology, parapsychological evidence and research, and all of that's based on a spirit world they're trying to understand. Yet man was formed from the dust of the ground. It's quite a thing. And then the first, because from me are all things. The last, because to me all things return. Now think about that. Look at Romans 8 and you'll see what I'm talking about. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Look at this. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, verse 38, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus,
Amen.
Our Lord. Everything that went forth from him will return to him. Look over here in the book of Colossians. Verse number chapter 1 and verse number 18. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. See this? That in all things he might have the preeminence. And it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth, things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You were away from him, he brought you back. Look at verse 17. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Why does the Bible say it consists? 2,000 years ago, they didn't know anything, did they? I mean, these people, they didn't have any science, did they? Well, of course, they knew much more than we give them credit. Especially the writers of the Bible, under inspiration. How many's ever seen a schematic of an atom? These things flying around. Oak Ridge, out here, their logo is these things flying around an atom. All right? What holds them in there? Do you realize that they say that even the petal of a flower, the atomic structure of that flower or anything you find, that it holds within it unbelievable power?
Yes, sir.
Unbelievable. Blow your mind. I got to digging around a little bit the other day into hydrogen. Hydrogen is the first element. Hydrogen. Hydrogen is everywhere. It's everywhere. But the thing is, you can't just reach out and take it. You have to extract it. There's a process where you can take, for example, electricity and run it through water. It's called electrolysis. By doing that, you release the hydrogen. This is why a battery blows up. When you're charging a battery, they used to warn us all the time in shop, never make a spark on a hot battery because you've got hydrogen coming. What's happening? By electrolysis, it is releasing the hydrogen. Now look, how many of you had a drink of water today? Do you know what you took into your body? You took a bomb. You took a bomb that could blow, could vaporize you. That's how much you took in. All you have to do is extract it. Well, it's quiet in here. How many of you have ever heard water called H2O? That H stands for hydrogen. That O stands for oxygen. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Separate them. You get a hydrogen gas. That hydrogen gas is very explosive. Yet look at the mind of the Creator. He joins it together with oxygen and you've got water. Isn't that amazing? Mother Nature's smart, isn't she? Look, He holds it together. You have to extract it. And the reason I got into that is because hydrogen is an enormous fuel. Now, when you go out here to the gas station and you pay $4 and something for a gallon of gasoline, you're going to say to yourself, I wish I had an electric car. Won't you? You get tired of paying these Arabs over here to build a skyscraper that's a half a mile high, okay? Right? Well, did you know that you can use hydrogen for a fuel? Do you realize that they have developed, a fellow up in Canada, forget his name now, I wish I had a memory. But anyway, he developed a hydrogen fuel cell. A fuel cell. A Canadian did. That literally takes nothing and produces a continuous supply of hydrogen, which can be used to burn and create energy to drive a motor, to drive whatever you want to do, do whatever you want to do with it. In plain words, you can put one of them in your car and drive on. Wave bye to the gas stations. Do you know why you don't have one in your car? Exxon's not making money on it. Texaco's not making money on it. That's why. They've had a hydrogen bomb. Hydrogen. It's in that wood. It's in the clothes you've got on. It's in the air you breathe. It's everywhere. It's all over the place. It's like chlorophyll. I remember when Maurice Rawlings came and spoke to us and he said, look out there at those green plants. I looked at it, all those green plants, green grass, everything's green. He said, do you know what makes it green? He said, it's the blood of the plant. I thought, what's that? He said, chlorophyll. He said, it's everywhere. It's all over the planet. He said, that's why everything's green. He said, in the wintertime, when the sap goes down into the ground, the chlorophyll leaves the leaf and goes back down. When it does, you get the natural color of the leaf. Amen. You ever seen a blood red maple tree? Blazing red. There's one out here on Washington Pike that at times it is so beautiful that people literally stop their cars and get out and stand and look at it. Maple tree. That's the natural color. Yeah. Did you know that that's the color of the trees before the flood? Do you realize that? Before the flood, all the trees were beautiful. It was the natural color. Blood came in later. All that you live in now, that you take for granted, is always having been this way. Hasn't always been this way. God holds it together. He keeps your water from exploding when you try to drink it. Isn't that an amazing thing? Just take it for granted. Mother Nature's smart. No, God is. He upholdeth all things with the word of His power. Keeps the atoms together. They split the atom. Look what happened to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. By the way, have you ever seen a recent photograph of Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Somebody gave me one the other day. I believe that was you, wasn't it, Brother Lawson? Get on the web, type in Hiroshima. Just type it in. Pull up a photograph of modern Hiroshima. It'll blow your mind. It's a beautiful city. Nagasaki. They were reduced to ashes in 1945 when Harry Truman sent those bombers over there and bombed them. 100,000 people died. And then he said, here's a picture of Detroit, Michigan. What a shocking difference. Hiroshima bombed into oblivion in World War II. Beautiful city today. Detroit, Michigan. Man, friend, all you got to do is just type it in and look at it. You don't even need to put words to it. How sad. When the Lord God Almighty blesses, He's blessed. He's blessed me.
Amen.
He has blessed me. He's been good to me.
Yes, sir.
He's been very good to me. Fear not, He said. The Bible says that men's hearts will fail them for fear.
Amen.
Looking after those things that are coming on the earth. Did you know yesterday's news? They reported where millions of fish,
amen,
they're scooping them up with high lifts,
amen,
had just died. Just died. And the scientists say, well, they got so concentrated in one area, they used up all the oxygen. Okay, that's good as any. I mean, that's what they said, you know. They'll put any kind of spin on it they want to. Why are all these fish dying? The birds are falling out of the sky. That's what it says in Revelation. Why is the North Pole, magnetic North Pole, shifting? It is. It has shifted. They had to change the landing strip markers down there in Atlanta. Why is it shifting? How will that affect this earth when it shifts? Could it be that God said you're not children of darkness but children of light? And when you see these things begin to take place, lift up your head for your redemption draweth nigh. I don't think about the magnetic North Pole shifting when I was 50 years ago, 14 years old. I didn't hear anything about that. But it's shifting. You say, well, what's that got to do with me? It's got everything to do with you. Did you know that if you drain your water in a sink in Knoxville, Tennessee, that water goes... Your magnetic pole goes from north to south. That's the way it works, north to south. All right? That water will go like this. If you drain it in Australia, it'll go like this. Well, that'll blow your mind on it. Up here it goes this way. Down there it goes this way. Could it be that there's some forces acting on you that you can't feel? Could it be that something's getting ready to change? They just had a bad earthquake in New Zealand. Horrible. God said, get ready.
Amen.
Get ready. Your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come tonight, right now.
Yes, sir.
Father, in thy name we pray. Use what I've said for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake, we ask it, Lord. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We exalt you. Lift up your name. If they come and get us and take us away because we love you and bless you and exalt you, lift up your name, we're going to keep loving you, blessing you, and exalting you, and lifting up your name. We're going to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. You know what it may be? It may be that the rapture of the church is timed to the very moment that this world comes to get you. And that's when He takes you.
Amen.
Yeah, could be. I mean, who knows? I don't know when He's coming, but I know He's coming.
Amen.
Amen. I want to give you a prayer request tonight.